The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Question pops up in my head every day. How great can I be?
The NFL level, the game's a little bit different. It's going to be grinding.
You know, I'm going to cherish every moment.
Put your mind to it, you can do it. Just keep pushing.
He's got it. Here we go.
Championship drive.
Oh, what a throw by Lawrence.
Looking deep. His sixth touchdown. Ja'Marr Chase has it for a touchdown.
Special performance by the Heisman Trophy winner.
Touchdown, Cougars!
Zach Wilson.
I'm going to give him everything I have and play as long as I can.
All right, everyone, we're now just 20 days away from the NFL draft. So in 20 days, we'll know what happens past pick three. We'll know if the 49ers really do, in fact, take Mac Jones. We'll know if the Patriots move up for a quarterback. And over the next week, we have some important draft dates. You see them right here, including the medical combine in Indianapolis, which runs through tomorrow. Then next Wednesday, it's Justin Fields' pro day, his second one. And on April 19th, 10 days before the draft, Trey Lance is set to hold his second pro day. This, according to our own Chris Mortensen. We welcome you to NFL Live. Happy Friday, everyone. Coming up later, we're going to tell you why the Cowboys should actually trade up to get Kyle Pitts, the Florida tight end. I couldn't find my chair there for a second. Mina Kimes, ESPN draft analyst Matt Miller and Phil Yates are with you today, as well as Rob Ninkovich. Let's roll right into it, guys. And we begin with Zach Wilson. Here's something to watch very closely here over these next couple of days. The medical checks that I mentioned for the players who will be drafted happening in Indy, you should care, because some projected first rounders like Zach Wilson and cornerback Caleb Farley, wide receiver Jalen Waddle, center Landon Dickerson, all expected to be evaluated. These medical checks could dramatically impact the way that these guys are drafted, depending on what happens in all of this. So, as I mentioned, BYU quarterback Zach Wilson will be checked in Indy. Matt, how big of a deal is the injury history for Wilson?
Yeah, Laura, I think it's something that has to be checked. And when I was at the BYU Pro Day just a couple weeks ago, this is something I was asking people while we were there, is, hey, what is the deal with the shoulder that he had surgery on? It is a throwing shoulder. What I was told is, nothing to worry about. It was most likely overuse from a player who wasn't very highly recruited coming out of high school. So he went to every camp he could to try to get noticed, try to get on the radar, probably overused his arm a little bit. It's been cleaned up. I've also been told the Jets aren't worried about it. So not much changes for Zach Wilson. I don't expect we find anything here, but it is notable that he'll be in Indy getting that check again.
Yeah, as long as the Jets don't care, that's probably all that matters anyway, right? But let's go to a few other impactful injuries in this draft. Phil, we start with you and wide receiver Jalen Waddle from Alabama.
Yeah, that's right, Laura. This is a player who basically shattered his ankle all the way back in October on a kickoff return against Tennessee. He did return and played a little bit in the national championship game against Ohio State, but anybody could tell that this player was still not 100%. But it spoke to his willpower and desire that he was out there for the national championship game. But teams want to see where that ankle is at. When healthy, he's the most explosive player in this year's draft.
Ooh, sticking with Alabama. Center Landon Dickerson is the best player at his position in the country. The dude's tape is electric. You're not watching it right now, but it is electric when you see him on camera. He serves up more pancakes than a short order cook. Unfortunately, he did tear his ACL for the SEC title game, has some injury history that's concern for teams.
Yeah, and I get to jump on here. It's Caleb Farley, the cornerback from Virginia Tech, who Adam Schefter reported had a microdiscectomy. That's his second back surgery. That's why it's concerning. Also a knee injury in his background. I think Caleb Farley, were the medicals clean, we'd be talking about maybe the best corner in this entire draft. Virginia Tech clocked him at 24 miles an hour. So if you want someone who can keep up with the Tyreek Hills and Jalen Waddles, the NFL, Caleb Farley's one of the few people who can do that.
Mina, Landon Dickerson was like, wow, I look really great throwing the football there as a BYU quarterback, Zach Wilson. That's fun stuff. Hey, another injury of note. Presumed number one overall pick, Trevor Lawrence's non-throwing shoulder. He had surgery a couple months ago, of course, on the shoulder.
I think we can definitively say he'll be the first pick in the NFL draft. Not that there was any doubt, but it is great to see that the Jacksonville Jaguars are really expecting him to be QB1 opening day. So for Trevor Lawrence to be at this point where he's throwing without pain, even though it was that non-throwing shoulder, I think it's just great to see. And it does. It goes back to his determination, as Field was saying earlier, of a guy who wants to be ready for the preseason, wants to be ready for week one. and it looks like he will be.
Yeah, Matt, the Jaguars have 4 picks in the top 45 selections of the 2021 NFL Draft, and ESPN senior draft analyst Todd McShay has them going all offense in his latest mock draft. After taking Lawrence with the first overall pick, McShay has Jacksonville selecting Oklahoma State offensive tackle Tevin Jenkins at pick 25, then adding 2 pass catchers in the second round in Louisville wide receiver Tutu Atwell and Penn State tight end Pat Freiermuth. Pretty interesting there. Rob Ninkovich joining us now, too, as well. And Rob, do you like them taking all offensive players in the first couple rounds of the draft for the Jaguars?
Yeah, I do. And my fellow defenders won't like this take, but I think when you have a young quarterback, why not surround him with as many weapons as possible and protection with a tackle that can go out there and protect you? We saw what happened last year with Joe Burrow not having the protection that he needed. So for me, I think having those weapons, he's going to take his lumps for his rookie year. That's going to happen. There's going to be bumps in the road. So why don't you go out there, give him a lot of options, get the ball out of his hand quick, and have an offensive line that can protect him.
Wow, I'm surprised. I expected this sort of offensive bias from Dan Orlovsky, but not from you, Ron Ninkovich. Look, I know. I understand.
I need my glasses. I need my glasses like Dan.
They'd probably fit you better than Dan. I understand that instinct, and I think I wouldn't be angry with the Jaguars if they drafted a tackle for the future, even though they did pay Cam Robinson. But that defense in Jacksonville has just too many holes not to address the position early on at just about every level. I mean, they were terrible last year. Like, they are the primary reason why this team was in position to get Trevor Lawrence, finishing second worst in the NFL in yards per play on defense, third in defensive EPA. Whereas the offense, while it does need work, they do have a lot of really exciting young skill players. Love DJ Chark, Laviska Shenault, James Robinson. They went out and signed Marvin Jones. To me, that side of the football is steadier, and I think probably needs less of an influx of talent in the draft.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. And I understand what Todd's doing here with the mock draft. If Urban Meyer wants to stock the roster with his own guys, but we have to remember Urban Meyer has never been a head coach in the NFL. I know he was great in college, and we all assume he'll be great in the NFL. Nick Saban wasn't very good in the NFL, though. So I think with Urban, we got to pump the brakes a little bit, because Jacksonville is going to have a first-time NFL head coach, a first-time NFL quarterback in Trevor Lawrence, and a general manager in Trent Baalke, who was fired in San Francisco because he and Jim Harbaugh couldn't get along. So while Jacksonville has an exciting young foundation, they have a ton of picks in this draft to build upon, I think we have to look at this and realistically say, like Nico was saying, like, they're going to take their lumps. This is not going to be a worst-to-first type situation in Jacksonville in 2021.
Yeah, which is interesting, because I'll tell you this much about Urban Meyer, guys. He's used to winning. That's something that he did a whole lot of in college, and it may not come as easy as it did at that level, especially considering you can't just go out and recruit the best players. You got to wait for your chance to get them in the draft. This year, incredibly important there.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Just 20 days until the NFL draft in Cleveland now, and something you should know about, the HBCU Combine is today at UAB in Birmingham, Alabama, the first combine for historically black colleges and universities scheduled for last year was actually canceled because of the pandemic. But now it finally gets to happen, which means players will showcase their skills in front of scouts from the NFL, CFL, and XFL. So HBCUs have generated some of the greatest players in NFL history. Here's a look. You see there at some of the notable players in past and present, including Jerry Rice, Deacon Jones, Walter Payton, Michael Strahan. The list goes on and on and on and continues to grow today with players like Saints pro left tackle Terron Armstead, Colts all-pro linebacker Darius Leonard. There are 34 players in the Pro Football Hall of Fame that played at HBCUs. And showing this list is just a small fraction of the impact HBCUs have had on the league. So, Matt Miller, who are some players to watch at this year's HBCU Combine?
Yeah, Laura, and I can't wait to hopefully get to this next year when we're able to get back out there. But yes. 42 prospects invited. We'll highlight three of them today that maybe people haven't heard of. I think you have to start with Prairie View running back DeWanya Tucker. Only 5'5". He's not the biggest player, but he is electric. Back-to-back 1,000-yard rushing seasons. He's also a very good punt returner and a very good receiver out of the backfield. So if you're looking for a late-round sleeper who can help your offense, DeWanya Tucker is your guy from Prairie View. Rico Kennedy, the linebacker from Morgan State, is the best defender, at least in the front seven, that will be at the HBCU Combine. 6'3", 235 pounds. He had 105 tackles last year, but 16 tackles for a loss, 4.5 sacks, and two interceptions in the 2019 season, the last time they played. So he is an exceptional linebacker prospect that teams will absolutely be looking at to play one of those off-ball linebacker positions. And finally, my favorite player who will be there, Mac McCain from North Carolina A&T, 6'tall, 174 pounds. The crazy thing about him, 8 interceptions in 2019, he took 4 of them back for touchdowns. So the coverage skills are there, the ball skills are there, and he is very good with the ball in his hands after the catch too.
I love it. I'm so excited for these guys to get this chance in front of these scouts. Let's talk pro days, guys. Justin Fields has announced that he'll throw at his second pro day coming up next week, April 14th. This time, the 49ers plan to attend. Of course, they missed his first showcase because they were in Tuscaloosa that same day seeing Mac Jones. Also, Trey Lance, who had a much earlier pro day, is throwing again at a second one, April 19th. That's just 10 days before the draft. So, Phil Yates, the more interesting of these second pro days, is it what we'll see from Justin Fields, or is it what we'll see from Trey Lance in your mind?
You know, Laura, I think the answer is Trey Lance. I think that Justin Fields, for the most part, should be an open book to NFL teams, right? The guy performed at a high level for 2 seasons at Ohio State, played a decent amount for Georgia during his first college season, played in a lot of big games. You should know Justin Fields by now. But Trey Lance has just 17 career starts under his belt, played one game this past year, as we know. NFL teams may not have nearly the same exposure to him because you simply don't stumble upon North Dakota State in the same way that you frequently do Ohio State. Obviously, there have been some great players from North Dakota State. Carson Wentz and Dylan Raiden's a teammate of Trey Lance is also going to get drafted this year and probably pretty high, but Ohio State's a place you kind of have the information you need by this point of the process. I think Trey Lance, there's a bit more discovery for teams that haven't had as much time around him up until this point in the process.
Yeah, Field, I agree with you completely. It is Trey Lance for that reason you mentioned. Only 17 starts, but only one in 2020 against Central Arkansas, where they kind of played a showcase game just for him to get on the field. So it's very important for teams to just get that face time with Trey Lance right now that they didn't have because of the COVID-19 pandemic. You're not able to get into Fargo, North Dakota, as much as you want to talk to him in person. So this is not only an opportunity for him to impress Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, but for the rest of the NFL as well. And also just to get around some of these people where, remember, he's a redshirt sophomore. No Senior Bowl for Trey Lance. There was no NFL scouting combine. So this might be the first in-person exposure he's had to many of these NFL teams and decision makers. So the workout he put on previously last month was very good. There will be some pressure on him to perform 10 days before the draft when he gets out there again.
And by the way, I love that both of these quarterbacks, Justin Fields and Trey Lance, are doing this. Why not? We're getting closer and closer to the draft. They're like, yeah, I'll show you what I got. I don't care what anybody says. I'm going to bring it all on the field there for these pro days. All right, by the way, Justin Fields continually stepped up for big spots in college. In fact, he posted a career QBR of 90 on third downs. That's the highest among the top FBS prospects in this year's class. Two judges ruled today that 13 of the women who sued Deshaun Watson will have to identify themselves. Attorney Tony Busby, who represents the 22 women accusing Watson of sexual assault and inappropriate conduct, says his clients are entitled to anonymity in cases like these. Busby also said his client Ashley Solis, who publicly spoke out against Watson earlier this week, has already received death threats. But a judge disagreed with Busby, saying his legal team might be getting an unfair advantage in the case because of his use of social media and the media coverage. Here is Watson's attorney, Rusty Hardin, from earlier today.
And I am not about to accuse 22 women we have now of ill motive, of lying, or anything. All I know is we're supposed to start out with you assuming we did not do it, and then wait till proof shows that we did before you make up your mind. That presumption is pretty much gone. In some of these massages, there's going to be no question. We've never run from it. Our first announcement, has always been about consent, that on some occasions some sexual activity would have taken place. I'm not going into what it is or how, you know, the nature or the numbers or with whom, but I think you can rightfully assume that. The question always that we have always been emphasizing, never at any time under any circumstances, just as Letitia said, did this young man ever engage in anything that was not mutually desired by the other party.
The nine women remaining have agreed to reveal their names by next Wednesday. Watson has denied wrongdoing, but the NFL is investigating the situation under the personal conduct policy. We'll be back with more NFL Live after this.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You just don't pick players for the way they play now.
The Chicago Bears select Mitchell Trubisky.
Mario Williams.
Is he Julius Peppers? Is he Bruce Smith? Can he be?
The second selection, third selection, eighth selection, 11th selection, 16th selection.
That was tough there.
Not go with Jim Harbaugh and pass up Trent Dilfer. Forget it.
Okay, I am.
That's why the Colts are the laughing stock of the league year in and year out.
With the 17th choice in the NFL draft, the Oakland Raiders select Sebastian Janikowski.
Hey, like that reminder there, inevitably something will surprise us in 20 days when the NFL draft begins. Who would shock you most here? Who's going first? Ninko.
I'm going. I think I'd be shocked if Atlanta picked a quarterback at number four. And we all talk about Russell Wilson being sacked a lot. Well, Matt Ryan has been sacked 40 or more times the last three seasons. So if I'm looking at a number one pick, how about a tackle? Somebody protect my quarterback that I guaranteed $94.5 million to. So protect Matt Ryan. He'll help you out if you keep him protected and upright.
I'd be shocked if Oregon tackle Penei Sewell fell in the draft. I have 10, but really to 8. And it's something we're hearing actually might happen. Look, all you have to know is a 331-pound man should not move the way Penei Sewell does. He is one of the biggest no-brainer prospects in the class. Take him. Take him before pick 10.
Yeah, and I will be shocked if the San Francisco 49ers don't draft Mac Jones. Everything you hear around the NFL right now is that Mac Jones is the favorite there. Not saying it's what I would do, not saying it's what should happen, but what we're hearing from everyone is that Mac Jones is Kyle Shanahan's guy at quarterback and will be the pick at number 3 overall.
Yeah, I'd be shocked if the Patriots don't take a quarterback, guys. And since Bill Belichick took over as the Patriots head coach in 2000, New England has selected 11 quarterbacks in the draft, starting with Tom Brady in the 6th round, of course, his first draft. That was Belichick's first draft. Only two teams have drafted more quarterbacks over that span, the Jets and Broncos. But what New England has not done under Belichick is select a quarterback in the 1st round. The last time the Patriots used a 1st round pick on a QB, Drew Bledsoe in 1993. So, Ninko, our former resident Patriot, of course. Do you think the Patriots will trade up for a quarterback in this draft?
I think they will. I mean, look, we saw this offseason in free agency. They made a splash, not only a small splash, a massive cannonball. So they're going to go out there. They're going to do something different because what's the one position of need? A quarterback. They need a quarterback. So imagine if they are able to get an athletic quarterback move up into this draft like Justin Fields. Have him and Cam Newton on the field together. As a defender, I can tell you this. If you're a defender, you're on the field, you see Cam Newton and another athletic quarterback walk out on the field, you don't know what to do. So Bill Belichick is going to be licking his chops because he's already going out there in free agency and got a bunch of key pieces. Now he's going to move up and go get a young quarterback. And guess what? I think that they're going to be a team to watch in 21. They're going to change a lot of people's minds on what they're going to do offensively.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Patriots should absolutely draft a quarterback and move up for their guy, partially because they're not going to be in this position again. Football Outsiders has a great stat called adjusted games loss. It basically looks at how much teams were affected by injuries, or in the case of last year, COVID and COVID opt-outs. New England was the second unluckiest team in the NFL, and of course, they still finished 7-9. As Rob mentioned, they went out and broke the bank in free agency. They are going to be better next year, and we're looking at a draft class that's not as good as this one. This opportunity will not likely exist again for the Patriots. And in my opinion, it would be a massive mistake for them not to take a Justin Fields or a Trey Lance if they can get them, because that is their quarterback of the future, and I don't really see a path to getting one otherwise.
Yeah, I don't either, Mina. And I do think that we could say, oh, they haven't drafted a quarterback in 20 years. We don't have to when you find Tom Brady in the sixth round, but Tom's not there anymore. And the way in the NFL right now to win is to draft a quarterback early and then build around that rookie contract. So, yes, Cam Newton can get the job done for 2021, but they should have their eye on Trey Lance and Justin Fields, and they should be calling Atlanta and Detroit at number 7 overall to say, hey, what would it cost for us to have to come up here if the quarterback we like is on the board? It's probably not a trade that happens before the draft, but April 29th, when that first round gets going, if the quarterback that they like is there at 4, I think they have to call Atlanta and find out what that cost would be to get one of these young quarterbacks to learn behind Cam and then acclimate into Josh McDaniels' offense next year.
Yeah, it's really interesting to think about that happening on the night of the first round of the draft. Field, you just heard Matt mention there the 4th spot and the 7th spot. What do you think about a spot the Patriots could go up to potentially to get a quarterback? How high do you think they need to get?
I have a thought on that, Laura, but I do want to start by noting that today is the concluding day of the great Sloan Sports Analytics Conference, and I'm proposing a panel next year that is made up exclusively of Mina explaining all the stats that she explains on NFL
you.
Live.
Let's do it.
It probably need like at least 90 seconds of detail, but she gets into as much detail as she can in like 10 seconds. So
she's the queen.
2022 conference, here we come. As far as teams that think the Patriots or spots the Patriots might have to consider viable for that quarterback trade-up, I think Matt was astute in noting the Lions, simply because if you expect or if the Falcons do go quarterback at 4, which seems at least in play, I think both the Bengals and the Dolphins feel as though the players they have available at the 5th and 6th spots are so impactful to what they need right now that even if they could move back, they don't want to bypass the opportunity for a Kyle Pitts or a Ja'Marr Chase or a Penei Sewell as examples. And while the Lions desperately need wide receiver help that could very well be available at pick 7, this is a team that we know it's all about the future. They feel as though they can continue to stockpile assets, which if you move back from 7 to 15, you got to figure you're getting some pretty rich draft capital along the way. So just looking at the board logically, teams that can afford to move back, I believe Detroit and Carolina at 7 and 8 are teams that fit that bill.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, Rob, I realize that Trey Lance and Justin Fields have different skill sets, but you do realize what they bring to the table from just unbelievable athleticism and then, of course, the arm talent as well. Let's live in a world where the Patriots do trade up and end up getting one of those two quarterbacks with all of their additional weapons offensively. What would a Patriots offense look like with either Lance or Fields?
They'd be scary. And last year when Cam came here, I think that everyone had the expectations that they were going to run an offense RPO, running mobile quarterback that can get out of the pocket and make plays with his feet and throw the ball down the field. Well, that just really didn't happen. And I can tell you this, Josh McDaniels, if he had two of those players, those young players that are mobile, and you had Cam on the roster as well to help mentor, he would have something. There are two quarterbacks are on the field, similar to what the Saints do. With Hill and Breeze when they're on the field together. But when you have Cam Newton and another athletic quarterback, that's a different, completely different category, because you could have two quarterbacks that can run on the field, they could throw it to each other and then throw it down the field. So, I mean, I just think that the possibilities are endless and it would be pretty impressive and really hard to stop if you're a defender.
Yeah, Fields in particular is incredibly enticing to me because, you know, he brings the athleticism to the table that there was hope you might see in the offense last year with Newton, but what you didn't see from Newton through much of the season was accuracy, especially at the intermediate and deep levels of the field. Justin Fields is maybe the most accurate quarterback in the class. throwing deep. And the Patriots did go out and add weapons for him to throw to, both the tight ends and Nelson Agholor for that deep ball. I mean, just the ideas alone that Josh McDaniels must be cooking up watching his tape, I can't imagine. And it would be a coup for New England to get him at four.
Yeah, just a reminder that Josh McDaniels was at Florida's Pro Day seeing Kyle Trask. I'll just say this. If they miss out on the first tier of quarterbacks and go with the second tier this year and try to rely on Cam Newton, I just think that a lot of Patriots fans are going to be mad about the opportunity that they had in front of them here to go ahead and get a quarterback of the future. And now I'll look back at our week here on NFL Live.
I'm going to let people in on how Dan and I became friends. The foundation of our friendship was built on talking about The Bachelor and sharing Sam Darnold clips with each other.
This is true.
You know that scene in The Notebook? I've never seen the movie, I'll say.
Tim definitely seen The Notebook.
According to my sources, there are no ghosts in Carolina, at least no confirmed ghosts.
Yeah, excuse me, I'm just texting the news desk, Adam Schefter. No ghosts in Carolina.
Confirmed.
Dan, why are you dancing?
Because.
Oh, my.
Keep going.
Oh, thank you. Mm.
Look at him dancing.
Yeah, I mean, it would be one good thing if Dan could actually dance. Boom!
What if in 2024 you got a little bit better every day? When you're learning a new language with Babbel, that's exactly what you're doing. And if Babbel can help you start speaking a new language in just 3 weeks, imagine what you could do in a full year. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Try Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. It's designed by real people for real conversations. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching, so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. They have over 16 million subscriptions sold. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 award-winning language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/tackle. Get 60% off at babbel.com/tackle. Spelled BABBEL.com/tackle. Rules and restrictions may apply.
20 days away from the NFL draft, but we are 21 days away from the second round. That's where things remain extremely interesting, especially for these three teams you see here. The Texans, Seahawks, and Rams have no first-round picks, so their first bite at the draft apple comes day two. Which player is most important for these teams to get with their first chance in round two? Matt, let's start with the Texans.
Yeah, Lori, to me, it is Jordan Smith, the edge rusher from UAB, who at his pro day was electric. He's 267 passes, 6'5". There's power off the edge. Houston Texans need to find a pass rush. J.J. Watt is now an Arizona Cardinal. Jordan Smith can give you that in round two coming out of UAB.
So the Rams are used to not picking in the first round now, and they need depth in the offensive line and at linebacker. For the O-line, I'm giving them Liam Eikenberg out of Notre Dame. Didn't allow a sack the last 2 years. Ready to step in, eventually succeed Andrew Whitworth. On the defensive side of the football, Nick Bolton, true Mike out of Mizzou. Smart, instinctive player. Would be a great fit in Los Angeles.
Let's keep it in the Pacific Northwest and go to Minas Seahawks. They don't have a first-round pick because of the Jamal Adams trade, but I think the Quinn Miners, the Division III standout from University of Wisconsin-Whitewater, would fill a major need along the interior of the offensive line. They retained Ethan Pochick. They did trade for and extend Gabe Jackson, but I still think there are some reinforcements needed. And Miners is not just a cool story of a guy who showed well during the Senior Bowl. This guy proved he can hang and potentially be a day one starter.
Yeah, hey, maybe that would make Russell Wilson happier. The Seahawks have been active this offseason on offense. They signed tight end Gerald Everett, acquired guard Gabe Jackson through a trade with the Raiders. On defense, they signed a couple former 49ers, Akella Witherspoon and Kerry Hyder. They also made sure to bring back some key players, re-signing Chris Carson, Carlos Dunlap, Huna Ford, and signing Tyler Lockett to a contract extension. So, Mina, what about the 2021 Seahawks needs to be different from last year?
Well, Laura, I think it starts with the offense, because the great mystery of the Seahawks season last season was, what happened to that explosive pass-heavy offense we saw in the first half of the season. They continue to pass the football, but it wasn't so simple as saying, well, they didn't know how to play cover two or they were missing weapons. In fact, Seattle actually has excellent skill players. They brought back Tyler Lockett and Chris Carson, or extended Lockett, rather. But the personnel issues in my mind were the interior of the offensive line and tight end. They went out, traded for Gabe Jackson, added Gerald Everett out of Los Angeles. I like those moves. But it wasn't just about personnel. When you watch Seattle, the issues on offense stemmed from both scheme and, frankly, the performance of Russell Wilson as well. So when we look to this year and ask, okay, what is it going to take to fix this team, it goes beyond just adding those players. Russell needs to play better, and the offense needs to be more creative. To me, it's as much about his relationship with offensive coordinator Shane Waldron, also from the Rams, as it is about any players joining the team.
Wow.
Yeah, and Mina, I'm glad that we're holding franchise quarterbacks accountable for their play on the field, because sometimes what happens is when you poke the bear a little bit with the franchise quarterback, the retort is, well, who would you rather have? Would you rather have some middling quarterback? Would you rather be a team like the Bears right now who would move heaven and earth to acquire Russell Wilson? That's not the point. The point is your quarterback's got to be at his very best, too. None of us were talking about roster shortcomings on offense for the Seahawks in the first half of last season when Russell Wilson was the runaway winner for the NFL's midseason MVP. Defensively, I will point to some encouraging signs in the second half of the year. You can point to competition, but I think the infusion of pass rush, specifically through the acquisition of Carlos Dunlap, I thought gave them some energy and some life on defense. Yeah. I think there were guys that either were hurt, like Jamal Adams last year, or players that just did not yet meet expectations for Seattle on defense that I expect to be better in 2021. And when the team has limited resources like it does this year with just three draft picks, not a lot of money to spend in free agency, I think Seattle's going to be counting on player development to catapult them in a very difficult division.
Yes.
Let's not forget, there was a time where Seattle was the standard for player development. Richard Sherman's and Doug Baldwin's and Cam Chancellor's of the world were not first-round picks. These are players that Seattle found, identified, turned into superstars, along with their own great talents.
No, and you're right, Bill. And like I was going to mention, only three picks in this draft, the first one being at 56 overall. So it's not like they can just go grab Landon Dickerson from Alabama and say, okay, the offensive line's fixed. Russ can get the ball out on time to these, like Mina said, great weapons that he has. But I think another interesting point is we've seen that front office lose some people. Scott Bitterer is now the GM of the Carolina Panthers. So we've seen this before. Can teams keep that up when you start losing your good scouts? You know, when Chris Ballard goes from Kansas City to Indianapolis, when Joe Douglas goes from Philly to the New York Jets. So when you start losing those top scouts, the guys who are actually going out there evaluating the players, I think that's what will be interesting for Seattle with the limited resources. They have to hit on those three picks. I think we can probably expect the trade back to get more, but they do have to hit on the limited picks they have.
Yeah, Mina, when you think about maybe all of these things working together well for the Seahawks, the scheme works better well, as you were talking about. Maybe they get some depth in the draft. Maybe they get more performance out of Russell Wilson that's consistent. You know, where do they rank for you in that division, looking around the rest of the division, continuing to get better, and it was already a tough division?
Yeah, that's the real issue, Laura, because if it was in any other division, I think they would be the favorites to repeat. And by the way, Seattle won the division last year. I feel
like sometimes
we talk about this team and how they got to blow it up and trade Russell Wilson like they suck. They won the division. Unfortunately, the Rams did go out and upgrade a quarterback. San Francisco is going to have better health, and Arizona added some talent as well. So it's hard to pick me to return as favorites simply because of what every other team did. I think they will compete to win, but I don't think that's any guarantee they're going to repeat as NFC West winners.
Field, is the midseason MVP a real award? I wasn't aware of that one.
I think Bill Barnwell writes it for us on ESPN.com every year, the incredible and talented and unmatched Bill Barnwell. And as far as I'm concerned, if Bill deems a topic worthy enough of writing about it online, I deem it a topic worthy enough talking about on NFL Live. And
so,
midseason MVP, right?
I love
that counts.
Bill, thank you for that one. And by the way, we would be not even having all this drama with Russell Wilson and the Seahawks had we just awarded him the midseason MVP officially.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Would you be okay with the Cowboys taking Kyle Pitts?
Don't do this to me. We watched Dallas play last year. We all know the defense needs help.
Everyone's going to sit here and say defense, defense, defense. Do whatever it takes. Go get this guy, Kyle Pitts.
Pairing him with Dak Prescott in Dallas could be scary for opposing defenses.
If Kyle Pitts is there at 10 or you can go get him, I think you have to do it.
Okay, the NFL draft just 20 days away. We'll be covering every single angle, of course, leading up to the draft. And what are the Cowboys going to do with that 10th overall pick? Much like everyone who likes football, right? Jerry Jones is a fan of Florida tight end Kyle Pitts. But it seems obvious Dallas needs defensive help in the worst way, right? You got to think corners Patrick Surtain, J.C. Horn still there at 10. But do you go up and get Pitts? Is that in the realm of possibility? You'd have to go up, right? Because he won't still be there at 10. And look at this. Last season, 91% of Pitts' receptions resulted in either a first down or a touchdown. Mina, I'm laughing with you. That's the highest rate by any FBS player with at least 35 catches in a season in the last 5 years. So basically, if the ball was in Pitts' hands last season, Florida was either moving the chains or getting in the end zone. That's incredibly important. We talk about all these numbers, right? We talk about stats, and they're super important. I'm with everyone on that. But, like, can you score? Are you going to get 6 points? That's really important as well. First downs and scoring. All right, Matt, is Pitts worth trading up to get for the Cowboys?
Absolutely. Did you see that number that you just put on the screen? 91% of the time it's a first down or a touchdown. He is absolutely worth it. And I think what's important to remember, Dallas does need defense. Will McClay is a very good evaluator in Dallas, so he can find you defenders. They have 10 picks in this draft, guys, so they can move up to get Kyle Pitts. Remember, a couple years ago, Buffalo and Kansas City traded. Kansas City went from 27 to 10. It cost them a future one and a three. For Dallas to go from 10 to 4, it's going to cost you a future one, maybe a fourth-round pick this year. So it's not even that expensive when you have the 10 picks this year.
Ooh.
I am torn on this because part of me, just as a pure football fan, wants to watch an offense with Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb, Michael Gallup, Kyle Pitts, and Ezekiel Elliott with Dak Prescott throwing them the football. That is, that should be not safe for work to watch. However, football is not just about offense. And the Dallas Cowboys defense doesn't just have holes. They have wide gaping holes at every level, Matt. Like, when you look at their needs, we're talking edge rusher, defensive tackle, cornerback, up opposite Javon Diggs. I mean, linebacker, arguably. Basically, I just named every position on defense. And I know they've got a lot of picks, but that's a premium pick right there to pick a core player. And I know they've got a new coach. But, you know, even as much as I would love to watch that offense, I do think from a roster construction standpoint, it would be a little irresponsible. And, of course, we're talking about Jerry Jones, so he's probably going to do it.
Yep. Rob.
Look, I'm not torn on this one. Come on. I want to get back to the 90s, the Ken Norton Jr. days, when they were winning championships. And so does Jerry Jones. He said it. I want to get back to the good old days. If to do that, you have to go and get a great football player on defense. They have a lot of pieces offensively, so there's no need to lose any picks moving up to go get a tight end. Stay where you're at 10. Go get a Micah Parsons from Penn State, a great wrecking ball that's contagious, that everyone else around him on defense wants to make plays. So I think if they stay where they're at, go get a defender, go help your defense. It's going to help out your offense too, and get back to those 90s days where they were flying around on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, I'm not going to try to argue with you guys that this defense is actually good. It's not. I'm just saying Kyle Pitts, who needs defense where you can score 45 points a game? When you have Kyle Pitts, who I was calling him the LeBron James of tight end prospects the other day, he's the best tight end prospect I've ever seen. You can get corners in round two. You can get edge rushers in round three. There's nothing else like Kyle Pitts in this draft.
No, and Matt, he's not even just a tight end, right? And I don't mean that to be an offense to tight ends, because, by the way, tight ends are one of the most important pieces when it comes to mismatches in the game of football at this point, especially at the NFL level. But he can do so much more. He is really a wide receiver, tight end, hybrid type player. But, Mina, let's live in a world where we're going to say, all right, the Cowboys are going to score 45 points because their offense is going to be great. So they're going to score 45 points a game. You illustrated what that offense would look like, listing out all the weapons. I don't want to offend defensive people. I like defense. And, Rob, just please don't get mad at me here. But is it possible to say, all right, our offense is that good that let's sort of ignore the defense from the standpoint of trying to fill all those holes? Is that even a real thing that they could do?
You know, Laura, it's funny. I was thinking about the Chiefs when you brought that up in terms of a team that was so offensively oriented in 2019 and had, I would say, an average defense that improved as the season went along. And to me, that's the case. If you could argue or make a case or look at the draft or your free agent acquisitions and say, all right, this Dallas Cowboys defense can get to that 15 to 20 range, then I would say, you know what, fine, throw defense out the window. Let's go all in on one side of the football. But this defense was not even in that range last year. They were terrible. So I think they're just so bad that you can't really make that argument. And as much as I would love to see it, I know I keep saying that. And we're already going out on a limb saying a tight end could go at four. Like, what Matt's describing, it trading up for a tight end, that if you did that, it would be the equivalent of spending like the second overall pick on a tight end. That is unprecedented territory, even for someone. I know he's that special, but you got to think about positional value when you look at the draft. You know that,
Rob.
Yeah. Yep.
This no defense talk is hurting my feelings. Okay.
Sorry, Rob.
Defense. Have we heard the saying "defense wins championships"? Defense wins championships. I mean, Seattle Seahawks, Patriots, Malcolm Butler. Who won that? Defense wins championships. So,
well,
at the end of the day,
you have to have a well-balanced
team. Wow.
Go ahead, Rob. Sorry.
I'm right here.
You have to have a well-balanced team because all the pressure, if you have an offense that's scoring a lot of points, well, guess what? Every single week that offense says, we got to score a ton of points. We're losing this game. So you have to have some type of defense. If you go all in on offense, then you're going to run into trouble in the playoffs or something, because at the end of the day, at some point, you're gonna run into somebody that stops your offense.
Yeah, as tempting as it is, maybe the Cowboys' other front office people will talk some sense into Jerry Jones and be like, we got to go defense here. But listen, speaking of talking sense into people, Marcus Spears is watching the show right now, our guy. He says 91% of the time, the first down or touchdown for Kyle Pitts, that number we threw up. He's like, ooh, I might have to rethink this. My Lord. Matt, I think you convinced Marcus. Like, this guy's been saying they've got to go defense for forever. That was easy. Actually, it's really the number that we put up. No offense, Matt. Probably more about the number than.
No. Right? And the picture of Spears with the glasses down, I'm sure that's what he looked like when he saw that graphic on the screen, too, of the 91% of the time. So I'm just here trying to convince Marcus every day the offense matters more than defense.
All right, we'll see what he tweets after we just said that. He's probably going to be like, you fools.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.